Firehouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 39 on the air tonight. Man, I got my pump on. Feeling like a million bucks. Having some minor technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio right now. It's a little minor technical difficulties, but it's all right. We're on the air live. And episode 39, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I am Jersey Strong Jay here live at the rainy, dark, desolate Jersey Shore. Summer hasn't officially kicked off yet, but over here it always kicks off Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, hopefully the weather turns around and everything will be going great. Let me tell you one thing that's going great. That is ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Go check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Leave some comments and some articles. Browse around. We've got over a year's worth of material on that website. We're not a dirt sheet. We're not a news website with a big fat Z on the end. No. We're legit, we're the real deal, and we're going to have an updated look to the site coming very soon. We're also looking for writers. If you want to contribute your opinion and anything creative that you have on your mind, please hit me up at ProWrestlingPowerhouse@gmail.com. Send me an email, and we can get your voice heard on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Also, don't forget, we're on Twitter, at PWPowerhouse. And on Facebook at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. And ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to tell you a little story here before I really get the show on the road and we talk about WWE Payback a little bit. We talk about Monday Night Raw. I was ready to just shut down ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com last week. I was making a big decision in my personal life. Now, I don't usually talk about me all the time on the show, because it's not about me. It's about you. It's about the fans. It's about my friends. It's about getting the opinion out on professional wrestling. And I almost joined the United States Army last week. I went through everything. I went through the physical. I took the tests. I had blood drawn. Just did the whole nine yards. Saw a doctor, everything. And I was just about to sign the papers. It just didn't feel right to me. I felt like I was making a big fat mistake. Can't leave my dogs and my beautiful girlfriend. Can't do it. And I think I made the right move by not leaving. I would have been away for 25 weeks, essentially shutting down ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and PWP Radio. I just couldn't let that happen either. And, you know, I just don't want to go fight a war that I truly don't believe in. I know we're getting pulled out of Afghanistan, but guess what? Four soldiers died today over there. So I don't want to hear anything about this Middle Eastern stuff. And we're going into Syria. This isn't a political type of radio show, but I just want to let everybody know that I'm sticking around, not going anywhere. I talked a bit about it on Twitter last week. I was kind of full of emotion, so to speak, and was ready to just say goodbye for a good 6 months. Or been gone from September to March. And just isn't worth it. Not worth risking my life, my relationship, my livelihood. But we're here. We're live, and we're ready to rock and roll. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Will TLD. My man, TLD, soon to be retiring from pro wrestling, Will TLD Vasquez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Oh, TLD, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm here right now sitting in my beautiful apartment with my new iPhone 5. So that means that the quality just gets better and better from the side of TLD on his iPhone. So since you decided to make some life decisions this last year, as you know, I made a decision about pro wrestling, and July 13th will be my show live. This will be it. I'm not going to be doing it anymore. And, you know, it's just time to grow up and, you know, do other things in your life. And, you know, now I'm settling down, you know, having a girlfriend. I got, like, a full-time job now, you know, doing that while I'm working, you know, part-time autobiography stuff, you know. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, since you're making a change, I'm making a change. But the point is that we're still doing this wonderful and awesome show. It's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, well, that's great, man. You've had an awesome run, and it's great to see that you're finally wrapping it up and you'll be able to go out with a bang. Like, I was going to make a giant change, but I decided not to. I'm gonna stick with it, try to find something different route. But, man, congratulations. And we'll be talking a lot about your final match in the coming weeks. We're going to hype it up here on the show. So definitely check out Brookwood 4 Wrestling and my man TLD at TLD Wrestling on Twitter.
Thank you. Yes, and it's brookwood4.com if you want to see any of the shows. Free to see, all on YouTube, so check us out. And pretty soon, a couple of weeks, we'll be getting more, talking a little bit more about it. But we got some stuff to talk about tonight.
Well, absolutely. I'm going to kick it to the phone line real quick. We got a caller on the line. 516 area code. 516, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Ray. It's me, Matt.
What's going on, my man? How you doing tonight?
I'm just doing great. I saw a Raw episode. When I saw AJ and Stephanie McMahon go at it, I mean, it wasn't like the Attitude Era or nothing. I mean, it was like showing, like, if you act like it's like she's always, Stephanie wants AJ to act like a champion. But we all know, every fan in America knows that AJ can be unpredictable. Let's just say unpredictable. But if I like to see AJ fight anybody, I see Stephanie McMahon. No question. I sometimes can't stand AJ, but you know, as champion, you gotta respect it.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm a big fan of AJ Lee. I've made it be known over this past year where she's been getting pushed to the moon. I totally love her. I'm very into her. I think she's not only gorgeous, but she's just, you can tell she gets it and she's passionate about what she does. She's not a model that they dragged off the street and said, here, we're going to teach you how to wrestle. No, she's a wrestler that made it to WWE. She achieved her dream at Payback last night in what I thought was a really good Divas title match. And having her involvement with Stephanie McMahon last night on Raw solidified the fact that she is a top draw for the company. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of detractors, people that don't like AJ Lee. But there's something there that WWE loves. They market her well. She's got merchandise. Well, the Diva has merchandise. None of them have merchandise. She's the only SN1. I got an email today from WWEshop.com, and who was on it? CM Punk and AJ, and that was it. They were featured, so she must be selling those T-shirts and whatever kind of merchandise she has out there. So congratulations to AJ. I thought it was awesome. And speaking of that segment, we did see a big-time wardrobe malfunction, which I'm not going to be too, like, kind of childish about it, but we saw pretty much a fully of Caitlyn's boobie, and I was very excited about it.
Wow, Jay, that's very sexist.
Hey, what do you want me to say? That's the real deal. I mean, I got to see a boobie on Monday Night Raw.
Look,
I don't think it's sexist at all.
You
know it's
what?
Real talk.
You know, we always like a slip of the tit now and then, and it was, I guess, you know, if it makes Jay's day and gets him going, then you know what? All power to you, Jay. I'm so happy for you and your, you know, erection. So
thank you very much. It appreciates it. It appreciates the kind words.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for calling, Matt. We appreciate it, bro.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Happy.
Thanks, brother. So Will,
yeah,
man, you had the Payback post game show the other night, which
did
absolute great numbers because it was featured right here on blogtalkradio.com for all
of
Monday.
How many people we got?
I'm not going to release the numbers, so you can check it out. But it did really good as far as archive listens because it was featured on Blog Talk Radio, so thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for featuring our show once again. I think we were kind of blacklisted for a little while because I talked so much shit about the website, but that happens when you don't live up to your end of the bargain. They didn't live up to their end of the bargain. So, but, man, Monday Night Raw, We talked about Payback, and I watched Payback, and I thought it was an absolute great show. I was kind of spoiled on the RVD returning thing, but it was still awesome seeing that video package. It was great seeing that video, and I'm kind of excited about it at this point. And the show, I thought, was fantastic. CM Punk and Jericho lived up to the hype. AJ Lee and Caitlin was really, really good. Even Cena and Ryback, I think, exceeded expectations. I thought it was going to be sloppy. I thought it was going to be boring. But, hey, that crowd was burnt out by the time they got to that match. But everybody was there. Everybody was watching. Nobody left. That match did its job. And Ryback is hopefully going to take a week off and just get, you know, fresh in WWE's mind, that he's the WWE Universe's mind, that he's out of this feud with Cena and moving on to something hopefully better. But the talk of the town is Monday Night Raw, Will, and I know you said you saw it on Hulu, you didn't watch it live, but man, was this an absolute awesome episode or what?
Yeah, this was, you know, it had an element for everybody to enjoy. You know, there was, you know, big turns, big returns. You know, we had turns, returns, you know, drama, good wrestling. You know, investment, a new storyline. This was usually WrestleMania is like the reboot. It felt like last night was the reboot of the entire WWE. And that's, to me, my biggest takeaway was that it just rebooted everything about the WWE and the directions that they're now going to be going for storylines and things to come. And I'm very excited. And, you know, to see some of the great drama and the great speeches and the returns that we were all hoping to see. You know, right now, we're like kids at a candy store right now for pro wrestling because there's some great things on the horizon. And, man, you know, it's amazing. You know, WrestleMania should be like that. But, you know, when you've got Money in the Bank, it's like, you know, one of the best pay-per-views of the year that you always have to watch. You know, and Money in the Bank almost feels like it's going to be like the show of the year already. And we only have one match announced and one return.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that one match announced is absolutely huge after what we saw last night, and we'll kick off our talk about Raw with that, and that was Mark Henry's promo last night, and let me tell you what, this shows you just how simple it is to be awesome in professional wrestling, because
like
this angle, this angle was not very complex. It didn't take a rocket scientist to come up with it. It's simple build, and it's big-time heat. I know they were in the Chicago area, and you had like a day-after-the-pay-per-view type of crowd where you have a lot of those smart marks in the audience. But in most towns in America, the heat that Mark Henry would have generated would have been crazy. Last night, people were into it because it was just so fucking awesome. That promo that he cut, the tears that were rolling down his eyes, he had me, and I called it the second he came out. I kind of knew it was going to happen, but he changed my mind. He really did. I was back and forth on it the entire time it was going on, and for absolute good reason, because Mark Henry proved that all these years in the business, all this experience he's had since 1996, has really paid off. He is a true performer, and you know what? Thank God he's not leaving. I hope he really does have a lot left in the tank because he proved that he knows what it takes to get over and have an impact on the WWE.
Yeah, you know, Mark Henry, these last 2 years, people would say that when he was rebuilt as the world's strongest man and he started bringing the Hall of Pain, you know, it was a pretty amazing. And him and the Big Show had two incredible pay-per-view matches, which we both were attending to at Survivor Series. And, you know, his injuries kind of slowed him down, but it's like he never stopped. And he was tremendous in that ability of, you know, being like the badass. It's like you forget about sexual chocolate, Mark Henry. You forget about the hand. You forget about those things because this guy is like totally reboot. And it is sad because this was this was the prime of where he was when he was a world heavyweight champion. I even like when he comes out the entrance and the camera's blocked by his huge body. I mean, even like little things like that really make him look really strong and really good. And now to finally see this happen, you know, retiring with John Cena, it looked legit. He gave him the belt. You know, he talked about the story. He even broke character. Like, you know, the joke about Mae Young, and, you know, he did a tremendous job. And it was breaking news on Twitter that day that he was going to retire. And everyone has been talking about for months, I think, that, you know, Mark Henry's been down to the end of the road. And so you could legitimately think that this was going to happen. You know, so unfortunately I did not watch it live, so of course I got spoiled what really happened. But, you know, that was just a tremendous speech. I was like, wow, that was good. And the fact that it is the WWE Championship opportunity now, to me, I would love it if Mark Henry won. And, you know, it's going to be in Philly. Is that something you're planning to go to, Jay?
It is a show that I want to go to, because I really wanted to go when I heard about the possibility of Daniel Bryan versus John Cena, which isn't going to happen now, but it looks like it's still going to be an awesome card with, you know, Christian's back, Rob Van Dam is coming back. It should be great. I looked at tickets with StubHub, and let me tell you what, they are way overpriced for crappy seats. So I may wait for a little bit until it gets a little closer to the show, and then maybe these prices will start dropping, and maybe I'll snag some a little bit cheaper, because I'm not sitting in those seats, man.
With Rob Van Dam, after what happened last night, I don't know about that, because I think those tickets just went up.
Well, I think by the what happens is usually when you have a live show like this, when tickets get skyrocketed, I've seen this happen 1,000 times. When it gets closer to the show, those tickets start to drop because these people want to get rid of them. They don't want to be stuck with them. These are ticket sellers. So if I can save,
right,
you know, $20 to $50 on a ticket, I'm going to do it, because let me tell you what, they have – it's just overpriced in general. So if I don't go, I don't go. I'll order on pay-per-view. But I don't want to sit up in the nosebleeds in Philly, because there are just a bunch of scumbags up there. I cannot stand it up there.
Oh.
I've been up there before.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm dead serious. Up in the nosebleeds in Philadelphia, there's nothing but trash up there, to be honest with you. So I'm not sitting up there. It's not going to happen. So, but hey, I'll try to go, and hopefully I can pull it off. We'll see what happens. But while we're talking about Mark Henry, you know, I'm going to bring in who do I got on the line right now? 347 area code. You're on the line, PWP Radio. What's going on?
What's up, dude?
Okay, John.
Oh, no.
You're calling me from a different number, like, all the time, so I never know it's you.
No, yeah, sometimes I call from my cell phone, and sometimes I call from my house phone, so.
All right, good. I recommend the landline as much as possible, but what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Good.
Yeah.
So.
Good to hear his voice.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we took a refreshing week off last week, which felt pretty nice for me. But, John, we're getting right into it, man. We got an hour tonight because I want to watch the Spurs win the NBA Finals. So let's hear your thoughts on Mark Henry and John Cena last night. What transpired?
I've been listening to you on hold the whole time, and I was back and forth on it because I follow Henry on Twitter, so it's like, okay, what's going on? And then yesterday, you know, I bought into it, and 98% of that promo, I was like, holy smokes, he's done. And, you know, you should have seen it coming he came out during Cena and Cena staying out there. But I was like, all right, you know what, this is going to lead to Cena leading the whole locker room out to, like, salute this guy. And, you know, give him, like, the nice big send-off. I was hooked, especially when he started bringing his kids into it, like talking about, oh, my daughter cries every time I go on the road. Well, daddy's coming home. I'm like, oh, he's done. And when he slammed Cena, it was like, wow, like, amazing. And, you know, yeah, I would love to see him with one more run. I just don't know what he can do physically. That's the only thing with him. And he is getting to a real point where, you know what, it is, you got to realize probably the clock is ticking on his career, unfortunately. I mean, he lost almost 3-4 years of his career when he got hurt in, what was it, 04, and didn't come back till like 07. You know, he's had big spurts where he's been out hurt. And but if this is going to be his last run and his last big thing, then you know what? Go for it. I would love to see him beat Cena at Money in the Bank. I doubt it will happen because they're probably going to ride Cena into Bryan at SummerSlam. But if there was any way, and Henry's going to get cheered like forget it. In Philly, they're going to love him in Philly, especially I just can't wait to see the promo next week when Henry goes off on everybody, saying, basically calling us all suckers, saying you all fooled us and this and that. It's going to be great.
Yeah, man, he was tweeting all these celebrities. He was tweeting, like, Magic Johnson. He tweeted The Rock. He tweeted
Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall, yeah. He was sending out tweet after tweet to all these celebrities to get on board for this. And, man, let me tell you what, it was awesome. Spectacular job done by not only Mark Henry. I mean, it's all about the execution. This could have been horrible if Mark Henry didn't do such a good job. But he did. You couldn't ask him to do better, man. If you're rating it on a scale of 1 to 10, he was an 11, man. He was awesome. And, hell, I think John Cena will obviously win at Money in the Bank. But let me tell you what, he's going to be fired up next week on Raw. I'm excited to see it. But we've only got an hour tonight, so let's move along here with Monday Night Raw. And how about, and let's just talk about Payback and Raw in general. And I'll kick it to Will first. You talked about how WWE kind of rebooted the roster. It's amazing to me that we now have Ziggler a babyface, Del Rio a heel, CM Punk a babyface, Christian returned, all these great things happening, RVD's announced for Money in the Bank. Where do you think WWE is going to go with Dolph Ziggler? Because obviously AJ Lee, Biggie Langston are still heels, and there's still this triumvirate, as you want to call them. Where do you think it's going to go with Dolph Ziggler?
You know, Dolph Ziggler, you know, last night was cheered when he came out and attacked Alberto Del Rio. I do see Dolph Ziggler eventually, if anything, the best way I think they can do this is that, I don't know if they're going to have a match together or not at Money in the Bank, which it does all the signs sound like it could, but why not have him go in the Money in the Bank match, win that match, and challenge Alberto Del Rio? I would love to have a number one contenders match where Dolph Ziggler does not win, but he gets the Money in the Bank briefcase, wins, and that night cashes it in against him. I think that would be so creative, but the crowd would react in a way where it's not going to be a heel thing because, you know, it's just the way, you know, Alberto's done it before too. So I would like that way if they could go that route. But, I mean, honestly, I really don't know. I mean, I think they're going to have a match against each other.
Yeah, I think it obviously leads to a big match at Money in the Bank between Ziggler and Del Rio. I like the fact that we got the old and Bill Shannon on our Facebook group, which you can join. It's a hidden group, but go check it out on Facebook, Pros and Powerhouse. You can talk with us personally. He mentioned that it's just like the Bret Hart, Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13 thing. Although, you know, you're talking two different levels of main event guys, but it was still pretty awesome. I think they haven't pulled off a complete turn like this in a long time. A double turn like this just never seems to happen. So I think it was awesome, and I think it's going to lead to a great match between the two. Where AJ and Big E go from here, I don't think they turn babyface. I think somehow, some way, there's going to be a breakup of the three. I think maybe after Ziggler wins the gold back at some point, I think they'll still be together for the time being, but there will be dissension. I guarantee it. John, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I didn't see Payback. I didn't see it Sunday, but I read it online, and one of my friends saw it, and he told me kind of as it was going on. He's like, I think they're double turning them. And then Del Rio's promo last night, you know, really cemented it. And even the little stuff, like Ricardo did a tweet where he's like, you know, just to be clear, we didn't turn our backs on you. You turned your backs on us. So the turn for Del Rio is 100%. I mean, look at the match, the way he worked the match with Punk. As far as Ziggler goes...
John, real quick, dude, you can tell that the turn was 100% when Del Rio was cutting that promo at Payback. I know you didn't see Payback, but he came out after he won the championship, and he cut a quick promo, and the WWE cameras went on this guy in the crowd, and he just had two thumbs down and was like, boo. And when the WWE cameras do that, when the production truck says, focus in on that guy with the thumbs down, you know it's an automatic heel turn because that's what they want everybody at home to see. That guy with his thumbs down, boom, Del Rio.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
and
so
as far as Ziggler goes, what?
No, go for it.
As far as Ziggler goes, I've seen some crazy scenarios with Ziggler. Like somehow Ziggler's going to be in Money in the Bank, which would make no sense, but to cash in at SummerSlam, I mean, I don't want to see that, especially if there's only going to be one Money in the Bank match this year like they're talking about possibly. There's other ways to go. There's other ways to get Ziggler into that match at SummerSlam or get the belt back on him. He's definitely going to be full face, obviously. You know, last night that, you know, the end with him and Del Rio. I heard something about maybe Langston show, maybe Langston Henry for SummerSlam, so maybe Langston's going to go face with him, but there's no way I could see AJ going face, you know, with her character. So who knows?
No, I don't see it happening. I think she'll probably end up turning and probably joining forces with another heel wrestler. Maybe just go out on her own. Who knows? Because she's been linked to a superstar for, you know, over a year, but no matter who.
How about
it was,
Del Rio?
CM Punk. Maybe. That's always a possibility. Makes sense. He's the aristocrat. He's got money. I think he'll probably start driving the cars out again at some point.
Yep.
You know, they're going. And I think it's the right thing to do because his babyface run just wasn't working. It was all right. I'm not saying it was horrible, but you could tell by the reaction she was getting from town to town that it just wasn't that good, and he just didn't seem comfortable in it. It just didn't seem like
he
was working. It seemed corny, right?
Yeah, but to his credit, he cut the perfect promo last night in the attempt to justify his actions when he mentioned when he fought Swagger, people chanted USA at him. When Ziggler cashed in when he was injured, everyone cheered it, but when he did it, he was booed. The promo Del Rio cut last night was the perfect follow-up, and even though he's a heel now, you look back on it, and if you look at the bare facts of it, you turn around and you say, he's actually right, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, it was a good
that's
job
the thing
last
about,
night.
That's the thing, the thing about, you know, when it comes to heels, you know, when they're tough, like Ryback did a perfect example of that where he was saying, you know, John didn't save me when the Shield attacked me, you know, and this is kind of the same scenario where a heel looks good when he's talking about something that really happened and does make sense about why he turned the way he did. And he's not really ragging on the fans. Like, he's not turning on the town, especially on Payback. He really didn't, like, you know, turn on the fans. He's like, you know, I'm the World Heavyweight Champion, you should have, you know, and, you know, you should all respect me for that. You know, and then last night he made the full turn when he said, like, you know, hey, you know, you people turned your back on me, which is true because we were booing him. People were booing him at WrestleMania. People have been booing him because they like Ziggler. They just like him better. And Del Rio should never be a face again. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, WWE went with what the crowd wanted, and that's what they should always do. In most cases, I'm not going to say always. Sometimes they slow burn it, and they don't do it overnight. But in this case, they went with it. They had this plan. And I really think Vince McMahon, to his credit, saw ratings starting to tank for Monday Night Raw, saw that business was down. And don't get me wrong, the NBA Finals have been fantastic, and they've gone head-to-head with the NBA all throughout the playoffs. So it's been tough for Monday Night Raw to get those big ratings. But he knows sometimes you need to shake things up a little bit. And this leads me to talk to you guys a little bit about this Triple H Vince McMahon storyline that's taking place. I want to give credit to Bill Shannon for kind of putting this idea in my head a little bit. He had a good idea where it kind of leads to a match between not Vince and Triple H, but between like a roster of guys on Triple H's side and a roster of guys on Vince's side. They have a match for total control of the company because it's obvious it looks like there is a power struggle right now between not only Triple H and Vince, but Stephanie seems to be involved as well. And I'm wondering if this is going to somehow, some way, lead to another roster draft. Because if WWE wants to shake things up, if they want to tighten up their shows a little bit and kind of bring a little bit more, like a little less chaos to what goes on, because you're seeing just everybody on each show, except Cena. Cena's like the only guy in that CM Punk, too, that doesn't wrestle consistently at both shows. You're seeing that happen all the time. And maybe, just maybe, it would be smart to just split those rosters in half again. Because it's been a few years since the Super Show thing started and since they've been switching back and forth in the brands. I think it would be a smart move. But I want to ask you, Will, where do you think they're heading with this big angle between Vince McMahon and Triple H?
Yeah, I think they're going towards a power struggle in a way. I don't know. Honestly, right now I can't really see an end game to this, and right now I don't think I really care about an end game right now. This is going to take months to get somewhere. You know, even to Survivor Series, they really wanted to do that concept that you're talking about. You know, but right now I don't know what they're doing with it. I think, you know, it's going to start putting it, the McMahons are obviously going to be back on TV for a while. And McMahon television was always fun to watch, whether it was McMahon against McMahon or they were teaming up against somebody else. It was always fun to watch them. And now they're more mature and in a different role. And now Triple H is kind of like the Shane McMahon now of this whole thing, because now he's a part of this. You know, I don't know where they're going with it, but I like it. It's good television. They're staying backstage, but they're also integrating with the talent, which I like the best, is that they're not just by themselves. They're with, like, you know, Brad Maddox and Vicky. They're with AJ. They're with, you know, Curtis Axel. They're getting involved with the characters inside of the story. So that's what I like about it, is that it's not about them. They're interacting with the current roster, which makes this even more important.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the Shield, too, I kind of like that, how, you know, Triple H said that Vicky early in the show goes, you have to reprimand the Shield. And then later in the show, after they beat the crap out of Kane, you know, Vince goes up to her and says, you know, the Shield are all, the Shield's great, the Shield is amazing, and congratulated them. So, I mean, that's kind of your dynamic you're talking about. And I think a roster draft at this point would be great, because they're bringing guys up from NXT. The roster is huge. There's so much talent on the roster. They're bringing back RVD. They brought back Christian. God knows who else they're going to bring back. There's rumors that Kurt Angle's going to come over soon, and, you know, before WrestleMania 30 or something like that. And there's just so many guys out there that they could bring in and really just load up the talent rosters, and that gives more opportunity for more guys to make a big impact. What do you think, John? Where do you think they're going with Triple H and Vince McMahon?
I don't think they're going to go a roster split again, especially since they just rebranded all the house shows. They're no longer Raw and SmackDown shows. They're just WWE super shows. I would have bought into the whole Triple H team versus a Vince team for control, but Stephanie last night, that last segment where she told Vicky, you don't listen to either one of them, you listen to me. It's like, okay, how are you going to do a three-team thing? I guess maybe you do some sort of triple threat like you did at WrestleMania 2000. I know that was a fatal four-way.
No.
But you could do a triple threat, a McMahon in every corner. But you use that to get new guys. You don't have Triple H, you know, wrestle in the match. You know, obviously Vince isn't going to wrestle anymore. But you use that to, you know, guys that you want to put into a prime spot, you know. And guys who you would never, you know, maybe you find the guy that, you know, that we hear backstage Vince isn't a fan of, but yet he's the guy that Vince picks to be his representative. You know, Triple H has heat with so-and-so supposedly backstage, but oh, look, now this guy's going to wrestle for Triple H. And you could even play that off on TV. Like they did when they did that a couple of years ago with the Austin Bischoff thing, and oh, Austin's got to go to Michaels for help, but, you know, Austin's the guy that initially ended Michaels' career. Like, you could do stuff like that. That could make it interesting, but it's definitely going to lead to a power struggle. I know this isn't going to happen, but I would love for this all to end up where, while they're all fighting, in comes Shane, and he just takes the entire company.
that'd be amazing. I like your idea with a McMahon in every corner type of triple threat match or something along those lines. That would be pretty awesome as well. But I like you said, it's probably gonna last for a while. It looks like it's going to be one of their big summer storylines that could head into Survivor Series. Who knows? But I don't know. It just seems interesting now that the McMahons are back, Triple H is back in the show, and I think it's smart to have as much star power as possible in the summertime, because summertime is just, it's tough in general for WWE and professional wrestling.
Yeah, but you know what? They actually got a head start on Sunday, because I think it was Toph that said it. You look at their last couple of June pay-per-views, they've all pretty much been terrible, like Capital Punishment was bad. No Way Out was bad. You know, a couple of those were bad. So it's like you needed something big at Money in the Bank. Like you needed Punk at Money in the Bank last year. Money in the Bank, I mean 2 years ago, Money in the Bank last year wasn't great. You know, in 2010 you had, you know, the Kane cash in right away. And then you've gone to SummerSlam. They're actually ahead of the game because not only did they put together a great June pay-per-view, last week's Raw was not bad. This week's Raw was quite possibly, forget the best of the year, might be the best of the three-hour era, excluding Raw 1000. And now you're heading into what is, now you're heading into Money in the Bank, which is going to have some good matches on it. And you're going into SummerSlam. So they actually, you know, and after Thursday night, you're losing the NBA Finals, you know, if it goes to that. So you're past that now. The only thing they've really got on the horizon that they got to worry about is mid-July for the MLB Home Run Derby. That's the only real Monday night anytime soon that they're going to have anything really to worry about. So they're, to me, they're a little bit, they're ahead of the game with the last three shows they've put out.
Yeah, absolutely. And nobody watches that stupid Home Run Derby anyway, so we don't really got to worry about that. But, you know, but yeah, it's looking good. Things are looking up. And for wrestling in general, because TNA's got the Bound for Glory series starting as well, and that's
yes.
probably their hottest time of the year. I think that looks really good this year as well.
Yeah, I thought TNA did a good job. But I mean, TNA was a little weird this week. I got to be honest, if we're going to get a little slap of TNA talking there, TNA this week was really, really weird. It was actually a really bad show. I don't know if John watched it or not, but
nah.
It was a really bad show this week. It was not that good. When you watch Payback and you watch, you know, Monday Night Raw, it made TNA look like shit. So they're going to pick it up starting next week, that's for sure.
The only thing I liked about TNA was they had a lot of wrestling matches on it. They brought back a lot of guys who we hadn't seen on the show in a long time to kind of fill those spots to get their regulars into the Battle for Glory series. It was obvious who was going to win each match, but that's the only part I liked about it. It was a wrestling-based show. There wasn't a lot of BS sports entertainment stuff. It was all wrestling-based, but I did absolutely despise the ending where they had Rampage Jackson help Kurt Angle. I thought that completely ruined it before it even got started, and that really, really pissed me off. You're looking for a big buy rate for your Bound for Glory. If that's going to be one of your big matches at Bound for Glory, you're looking for a monster buy rate, and you're not going to get it with those two being club buddies. You'll only get it if they absolutely hate each other. This respect thing in professional wrestling where two guys respect each other going into a big match is bullshit. I can't stand it. We're not going to see it with Mark Henry and Cena. We're not going to see it with Daniel Bryan and Cena when it gets there. You're not going to see it with CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar, which we'll get to next. And we don't need to see it with Rampage and Kurt Angle. Like, you want to make this feel Tyson Austin, and it doesn't. It feels like the fucking Lollipop Guild or some crap. I hated it. I thought it was stupid. Them against Ace and Eights, no money whatsoever, because Ace and Eights is losing steam, and it's losing steam quick.
Real quick on Rampage, you would have thought Dixie learned her lesson after the whole King Mo debacle on Bellator and the fact that even Bobby Lashley got knocked out while he was on the TNA contract. When she's ever going to learn, you know, she better pray to God that Jackson doesn't fight for Bellator before Bound for Glory, because if he fights for Bellator and loses, what momentum does he have going into Bound for Glory?
Rampage Jackson, though, it's kind of comparing apples and oranges here, because Rampage Jackson is a bona fide superstar in MMA. You know, he's a former UFC light heavyweight champion. He's fought a who's who's list of MMA stars. His fight with Rashad Evans a couple of years ago had like almost 1 million pay-per-view buys. I think it was like 750,000 pay-per-view buys. It was a huge deal. But the fact of the matter is, he just wasn't training right for his fights. He was getting gassed out. I've watched every single one of his damn fights, and he just got gassed. He just couldn't do it. He beat guys like Lyoto Machida. He's a big name, a huge name, compared to a guy like King Mo, who only like MMA diehards knew who he was. Or Lashley, of course, is a different story. But Rampage Jackson's a bona fide superstar. He was in the freaking A-team, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but you know what? It all goes back to when Shamrock was in the WWF, and he wanted to go fight again MMA in 99 in the midst of his run with Jericho. And Vince told him straight out, you lose, You're worthless to me. And Shamrock, 1998-99, was probably as big of a name from MMA and UFC as you can get, especially with UFC not being that popular. And what happened? Shamrock lost his fight. And did we ever see Shamrock in WWF again? No. So, you know, Dixie needs to be careful with these guys, whether it's King Mo, Lashley, or Rampage Jackson, because if these guys get beat the way Mo got beat and the way Lashley got beat, then superstar name or not, it takes away from some of the mystique of this Rampage Jackson, the king of MMA, versus Kurt Angle, the king of TNA. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I think they lost the mystique last week, because I know you didn't watch it, but it just, you know, Aces and Eights were kicking Kurt Angle's ass, and then Rampage runs down with a chain and starts swinging the chain around, scares everybody away, and he essentially saved Kurt Angle. So they took the little bit of heat that they built up in the previous week's Impact by the stare down at Kurt Angle, saying he's the best and, you know, watch out for him or kick your ass type deal. They took that little bit of heat and they completely squashed it, and it was the stupidest thing they could have possibly done.
That's actually somewhat savable, though, because you could have Rampage, and again, this would be if TNA allows this to go that way, you could have Rampage come back this week and be like, listen, the only reason why I saved you is not because I wanted to. It's just because I want you to be healthy, so you got no excuses when I kick your ass at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, they can save it. I'm sure they can, but they're not going to. It's that
right,
simple. They're just,
you know,
it's just not going to. It's not going to happen. It's TNA, and it's not going to happen. I'm looking forward to the Bound for Glory series, but that's about it. But the same
of names out
to,
of it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's
Storm's
it
out,
it
Angle's out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is there, man. It's gonna be good though. I think they're heading towards AJ Styles probably winning the whole thing. You know, remember, I think it's gonna come down to him, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe. That's just me though. I think Samoa Joe's due a push finally. But,
and Anderson.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Who knows?
Anderson.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
what happens.
I agree with Will on this. I think I could definitely see when we get to. Well, I don't know how they're going to do it this year with the quarter pay-per-views, but when they get to that semifinals, Anderson's going to be right there, because they got to play up that Bully Ray could have his title shot at Bound for Glory protected, because Anderson will win for Aces and Eights and obviously not challenge Bully. But then they could do the underlining, well, why should I protect you if I can get a shot at the title? You know, yeah. Will's right. Anderson will be there at the end. He'll be in the semifinals. Heck, he might even be in the finals.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he's a turncoat. Maybe he'll be the guy that turns on Aces and Eights, like kind of like the mold for TNA. It's always possible because they've turned him back and forth from babyface to heel over and over and over again throughout his run. So, yeah, you just never know. It's anything's possible in my mind for TNA Impact, because you just never know what they're going to do. But what I'm looking forward to the most this summer, and this will be the final thing we talk about tonight because I want to get to watching this game. I might even end the show a little early. Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, man. What happened last night was foreshadowed, of course, by at Payback. You saw Paul Heyman get a little bit involved in the Punk-Jericho match. What happened was, if you didn't see it, I know you didn't see it, John, but Paul Heyman got up on the ring steps to distract Jericho. And accidentally, CM Punk reversed the move, and CM Punk saw Heyman and said, Paul, what are you doing? Got rolled up by Jericho and almost lost the match. So that's where it started. And then last night,
right? Yeah, I definitely heard all about all the little subtle stuff during that match. And even Punk said something to him after the match where he was like, I can do this on my own or something. And then I saw the clip on WWE.com of Punk telling him, "I'm your friend, not your client."
Right. Yeah. That happened. That happened after the match was over. Exactly. And but then at the end of Raw, man, we saw CM Punk in the ring celebrating his countout victory over Alberto Del Rio, and Brock Lesnar made his return. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't think they'd pull the trigger on it this early, but I'm happy they did, man. What an awesome way to end such an amazing episode of Raw. Looks like they're setting the table, and you called it, John. You wrote it in an article that I posted a few months ago, your predictions
yep,
for SummerSlam.
I wrote that pre-WrestleMania.
Yeah, you did, and it seems like it's coming to fruition for you. Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk is on the horizon, and I couldn't be happier. It looks amazing. Will, what are your thoughts on them booking a Brock versus Punk match?
Yeah, I thought it was a great ending to a show that was already very strong. You know, I don't think they should pull that trigger at Money in the Bank. I think that show's already going to have everything it needs. I think, I mean, obviously they're going to have, they should wait till SummerSlam for this match. You know, I don't know what Punk's going to do at Money in the Bank. You know, maybe a call-out or something along those lines, try to keep him a little bit healthier. You know, so we'll see what happens. I love the idea of these two fighting. Obviously, it was destiny for this to happen with the way, you know, they've been avoiding each other as Paul Heyman guys for so long. And we were wondering, are they going to team up? Are they going to go against each other? And obviously now we know they're going to be eventually fighting each other. But, man, Punk looks like a... You know, I was very surprised because he was about to go on camera, on the microphone and say something. I was like, oh, my God, Brock, don't talk. And he didn't, you know, which was great. And it was a great ending to the show. And, you know, my worry is who's going to beat this Punk? How in the hell are you going to say that CM Punk can defeat, you know, Brock Lesnar? That's the only part that's going to I'm going to have a hard time with is how they're going to play that whole feud up to make Punk look good and to make Lesnar look good. But, you know, when you compare the two side by side, that was always the biggest fear I had with these two. And they're going to have to set. That's the biggest jump they're going to have to do around it.
Yeah, I think it'll be your classic, you know, speed versus power type match, which it seemed to work with, like, Hogan and Savage back in the day. And I'm not comparing CM Punk and Brock Lesnar to Hogan versus Savage in any way, shape, or form. I'm not. I'm just saying by their body sizes and whatnot, it could be the same type of dynamic in a way. Because actually, when I looked at them, CM Punk's a tall guy. He's taller than we think. Brock didn't tower over him that much, but Brock is a lot heavier than him, a lot wider than him, and easily a lot more powerful than CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
So, but CM Punk, I don't know if anybody noticed this little detail, too. He came out on both Payback and Monday Night Raw rocking a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu hooded sweatshirt. Okay, he trains at Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and that is kind of establishing Punk as, like, a little bit more legitimate, in my opinion. And I also feel that way on the whole Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton ending, how it was a referee stoppage. That, to me, had a little bit more legitimacy to what happens in WWE. But we're not talking about that. We'll talk about that another time. What they did with Punk coming out wearing the Jiu-Jitsu shirt, it's subtle, it's small, but they did it for a reason, because Brock Lesnar, everybody knows, is an MMA badass. He's a real-life fighter, and if you give the fans that little bit of knowledge that CM Punk is also a real-life fighter, that he trains to fight for real, without telling them wrestling's fake, without saying that, if he trains for real and he trains with jiu-jitsu, maybe he can pull something off against Brock Lesnar, some kind of cool submissions and stuff like that that we haven't seen in the WWE ring. Maybe we have seen them, but they would work on Brock Lesnar from CM Punk. John, what are your thoughts on this match that you called months ago?
That's right, baby. I love it. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, because I really don't think we're going to see Lesnar again until we hit the build that final last couple weeks before SummerSlam. I just love what we're going to get out of Heyman next week. Because you're probably going to get the, I can't control Brock. You know, he's an animal. He's out of control. I didn't send him out there. I didn't know he was going to do this. You're my friend. You know, the backpedaling and the, you know, deception you're going to get from Heyman leading into this before Heyman fully 100% turns on Punk, I think that's what's going to make the absence of Lesnar not seem that obvious, because you're going to have Heyman just going, you know, trying to spin it his own way. I think the match could be surprisingly well, because Lesnar, you know, if you look at his run in 03, 04, he worked well with Kurt Angle. He worked well with Eddie. He worked well with Benoit. He actually is able to work with guys that are smaller than him. Punk has pretty much worked, you know, I mean, he worked with Taker. He worked with Kane. So I'm not worried about the style of the match so much, but yeah, I thought that angle was at the end was phenomenal, and you know, the look on Punk's face when Lesnar came out, like, what the hell is this? And then Lesnar grabbing the mic, I said the same thing Will did. I was like, dear God, Brock, please don't talk without Heyman here, you know. it was good, you know. It's gonna be interesting, and you know, maybe Punk, you know, works Axel at Money in the Bank, and Axel gets a cheap win over him, you know, and that could be where Heyman fully turns or something. But, yeah, this ain't happening at Money in the Bank. This is definitely happening at SummerSlam.
Or maybe he works Rob Van Dam. You know, maybe Rob Van Dam won't be involved in a Money in the Bank match, like everybody's speculating that he'll be a participant in one of those matches. Maybe Rob Van Dam comes in as a Paul Heyman guy. Maybe that's how the build happens. Maybe it's similar to them.
Who said that in an article today?
You wrote that. You absolutely did. But I thought that before I even read your article. That when I heard about this RVD news, I was thinking, well, maybe it's gonna happen. Maybe that's gonna be the way they bring him back. Because there's a lot of things. Obviously, you gave I think four or five scenarios.
Yep.
There are just numerous scenarios for Rob Van Dam's return, but that could very well be one of them. He can come in as the Paul Heyman guy. Paul Heyman could announce it that he will be fighting CM Punk at Money in the Bank, and there you go. You have a marquee match that we've never seen before. That it will be obviously be one of the headliners of that show. I think that would be a solid way to bring him back. And you don't even have to keep Rob Van Dam as a heel, so to speak. It doesn't have to be a long-term heel run, because I got a feeling the reason Rob Van Dam's coming back in general is to kind of get one last run, one last big money run in WWE. I don't think he's going to be a part-timer or any kind of crap like that. I think he's going to be full-time, and it'll be his last run in professional wrestling, and hopefully he makes the best out of it.
Yeah. Let's see what happens, you know.
Yeah,
so
I think he's really going to be there to
really help the talent get over, because there's going to be some great matches now that we could see between Rob Van Dam and that we didn't get to see when he was there. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for some new, fresh things, and Rob Van Dam's a perfect choice. But honestly, he's a face. I've never seen Rob Van Dam as a heel ever. He's just too good at being a face. Liked. I know there's obviously been times where he was, you know, a heel, but
yeah. He's
Rob Van Dam. He's just too good.
He was a great heel. That's one thing. I'm going to bring John back in a second because he was kind of staticky. But Rob Van Dam in ECW was a great heel. He was so hated, absolutely despised when he was doing the entire Mr. Monday Night, I'm going to WWF for life type deal. When he was doing that, man, nobody was hated more on the ECW roster. He can be a really arrogant, cocky SOB. It's a side of him that the WWE Universe hasn't really seen, because when he came in as a member of the Alliance in 2001, he was getting cheered almost immediately. He was arguably the only babyface on the Alliance. And what happened only a couple months in? He's in a WWF Championship match on pay-per-view with Kurt Angle in Austin. That's how great Rob Van Dam was, and I'm sure after this little break he had working part-time for TNA, because let's face it, if you're working for TNA, you're working part-time. After this little break, I'm sure he's rejuvenated. I'm sure he's ready to go, make an impact, no pun intended, on the WWE roster, and you're absolutely right, Will. There is a whole fresh new crop of performers for him to work with. Since he left in 2007, there are just numerous guys, man. The Daniel Bryan, Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler. The list goes on of all these guys Rob Van Dam can work with, but I think CM Punk is at the top of that list. John, tell Will how great of a heel Rob Van Dam was in ECW.
Van Dam was an awesome heel in ECW. As you said, he was literally, that's where the Mr. Monday Night moniker came in. It came in as kind of like a knock to ECW, because every promo Van Dam used to cut used to always end with, hey, call me, I'm interested in working Mondays, you know, this and that, you know. He even made that a couple appearances on Raw when they were doing some ECW invasion stuff. And, you know, also, too, the first couple weeks of the ECW launch, after he won the title from Cena, he was a heel for, like, the first two weeks of that. You know, I remember when Heyman handed him the ECW title, he was like, okay, cool, I'm ECW champ, but I'll keep this one too, because look, man, it spins. You know, Cena was really made out as the face during all that. But yeah, Van Damme's got it in him to be a heel, and Van Damme could come back, although I think they kind of killed this last night, was Van Damme could come back as like an anti-Triple H guy, but they kind of, you know, because of the real-life heat between the two of them, but they kind of killed that when Hunter said he was the guy that negotiated Van Damme's contract, which was like, all right, well, you two have kind of spent the last couple of years hating each other, and You know, so that doesn't work. But, yeah, Van Dam could be a heel, especially with Heyman as a mouthpiece, you know. It works.
Yeah. No, no question about it. I'm excited to see Rob Van Dam as an old-school fan. I know I talked trash in the past about him being one of the older members of the TNA roster, and I still hold firm on that because you're talking about the minor leagues. You're talking about TNA wrestling. They're not the majors like WWE is. So if he wants to come back to WWE, make an impact, steal his ring gear back from Ryback, whatever he's going to do, I'm all for it. I'm excited for it. And he's one of the reasons I might be attending Money in the Bank if these damn ticket prices drop a little bit. Because
I ordered tickets. So I have the top upper level first row seat. So I already have tickets. I just bought them while we were on the air.
What, are you sitting in the 200s?
Yeah, the 200s, but in the first row.
Oh, see, I refuse to sit in the 200s that are in Philly.
Oh, my God,
not,
it's the first row, man. Be a man. Be a man, Hogan.
By the way, I don't know if you guys caught this last night, but apparently Hulk Hogan still has no clue what's going on with RVD's TNA contract.
Yes, I did read that, yes.
Wait, what? Hold on. No, show me in, John.
Someone,
what the hell are you talking about?
Someone tweeted Hogan either late Sunday night or early yesterday after the news broke of Van Dam going back to WWE. And Hogan's response was, "I don't know. I don't handle that. That's a Dixie Carter and Bruce
Bischoff.
Pritchard issue."
Yeah.
Like, how do you know the guy's not on your roster anymore?
Oh my God! Yeah. See, that just shows you that. No, I love Hulk Hogan. He's the man. He can. I'm glad that he can kind of do whatever he wants in TNA because he freaking deserves to because he built the business and shit. But he is something. I think he's just in it for himself. Which to me, you know, it's fine at this point, man. He is the Hulkster, and I'm all for that. He could do whatever the fuck he wants. But yeah, he's oblivious, and I don't blame him, and I'm not surprised one bit by that. But it's pretty damn funny. I'll give you that much. But hey, I'm gonna sign off tonight. I want to get to watching the Spurs Heat game because the Spurs are gonna win. They're gonna become NBA champions. I'm pretty excited about that. But any final words tonight, TLD?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we have a great couple of days of wrestling coming up, you know, we have TNA this week, big show with that. You know, I was very happy with the way Payback went, and I think that we've got a little bit of a reset going, and I think wrestling fans last night, I don't think anybody had anything bad to say about anything. So I think it was overall, we got a good direction so far. Let's hope the momentum keeps going. And whoever wants to come to Money in the Bank the day after my live show, I got an extra ticket.
Yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure Nick and I are probably gonna go. We're looking for seats not at 200s because we went to the Raw before WrestleMania 28 in Philly, and we sat in the 200s and just had an awful experience because there were so many scumbags up there, and I just don't want to be a part of that again. But John, final thoughts tonight.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I cleaned out my DVR to make sure I got enough room for the stuff that I can't really watch live that much anymore between work and just some other stuff. So to make sure my DVR is nice and fresh and empty for the summer. So I'm really excited about it.
How about tomorrow night? You going to have a show tomorrow night?
I think we're going to hold off one more week and then we'll come back next week. I got some stuff on my plate. I got to work tomorrow. We're doing some work at my in-laws' house, so I think we're going
to
hold off at least another week, and then we'll come back strong.
We got a full plate this week on PWP Radio anyway. The Spoilers podcast is coming back this week, starring Save Us GSM and his buddy Ben Garland, and also PWO Live is going to come to you on Friday night with a very special guest. But I want to announce right here tonight that next week is going to be our two-hour Chris Benoit show. We're going to be talking about Chris Benoit for two straight hours. I want you to call in, give us your opinion on the tragedy. It's going to be 6 years, pretty much to the day. I think it's going to be 6 years on Sunday. We're going on the air Tuesday. Sunday or Monday, but we're going on the air Tuesday night, 9 p.m. We'll be live talking about Chris Benoit. You know, anything you want to say about what happened, we're going to go over what happened. I've read a couple books on it. I kind of have a good idea what took place on that day from all the accounts that I've read. And, you know, there's some things about his life that we'll talk about. And if you want to talk about good things about Chris Benoit, that's fine, too. I'm not going to hold you to it. We'll talk about some good things. We'll talk about some bad things. But we'll be going all Chris Benoit all night long. So For TLD and John, this is Jersey Strong Jay signing off. Keep it real, everybody. Have yourself a great night.